So we are at the, so what's it called again? Called the shush, double treatment of whatever.
Double mitzvah, double command.
Double command to guard and do the mitzvah, something like that, right?
Yeah,
Okay.
the double commandment to do and guard the mitzvahs.
Okay, fine. Great. So you'll see. It's not a very spicy title, but that's what it's about. So, you know, descriptive, that's for sure. So it's men bacharemos. If you look in Perek Yod Chas, okay, Perek Yod Chas. So again, it's really Perek Dal, Pasuk Dal, and Hey, but I'll start in the beginning of the Perek, anyways. So Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, the Rabbanei Yisrael v'Amarta Lehem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, so I am Hashem. K'maaseh Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishavtem Bah Lo Sasu, K'maaseh Eretz Kanaan, Asher Yivaschem Shama Lo Sasu, L'Hashem Lo Saleichem. So like, don't do like the actions of the Mitzrayim that you lived there, and like the Mitzrayim of the Kanaanim, right? Don't go in their chukim. Rather, as mishpatai tasu, you should do my mishpatim, v'es chukosai tishmeru, and you should guard my chukim, l'lachas b'hem, to go in them, and yeshem l'kechem. And Hashem, you're gone. Okay, so the import of that pasuk is basically saying to guard and to do the chukim and the mishpatim. Okay, next pasuk is seemingly repetitive. Rishmar, you should guard my chukim and mishpat. That a person does and lives by them, or you should live by them, something like that. Ani Hashem. Okay. So the import of that pasuk seemingly is that you should guard the chukim and the mishpat that a person does and lives by them. Right? So it's like you have two psukim in a row, which seemingly are telling you roughly the same thing, that you should, you know, do and guard the chukim and the mishpatim. Right, again, four dalis, that's the mishpatai tasu, v'eschukosai tishmeru, v'alachas b'hem. You should do the mishpatim and guard the chukim to go in them, and Hashem. And then, and you should guard the chukim and the mishpatim that a person should do and live by them. I'm Hashem. Right? I mean, it's pretty similar. Right? So I don't know if you noticed this just by reading the psukim. You know, I didn't. But Rashi did. The Rashi, I think, again, I don't know if you noticed this, that Rashi noticed it, unless you read Rashi carefully. There's like a hidden question in Rashi, which I think that's the hidden question. So he said, "Shmartem es lukosai begomer lerabos sha." He has two answers: lerabos shar dikduke haparsha shelo piret hakasav b'hem, to include the other details of the parsha that the Torah didn't specify. So I think what he's saying on some shot level at least is the second time it repeats guard chukim mishpatim, even though it kind of already told you to guard the mishpatim, because this wants to include additional details which the Torah didn't specifically mention. And it still didn't specifically mention them, but I guess since it repeats it, Moses is not telling you to repeat it, it's not repeating for the same thing. Must be repeating it to tell me there's another level of the Shmira, Nasiya, that it's not already included. There must be certain details that it hasn't previously, or hasn't mentioned explicitly. But that's the first shot. Okay. Davar acher. Litein Shmira ve'asiya lechukim. Vishmira. It's to give you a command to have Shmira and Asiya, guard and do for Chukim, and guard and do for Mishpatim. Mishpatim. Because in the previous pasuk, it told you Ushmartem as Mishpatai Ta'asu, you should do the Mishpatim. And the chukim you should guard. What about vice versa? Doesn't say that. Right? Doesn't say that. So therefore, but the second pasuk says you should guard the chukim and the mishpatim that a person does. So the guard is going on both, and the doz is going on both.
Why do you need the first place?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So why did the first pasuk go together? So just say it right the first, the second time, whatever, on the first time. Right? First time he's saying it only one and one. And then the second one says both on both. So why, who needs that? Now just for relevant, of course, which you're probably familiar with, but I might as well just mention it. So Rashi on Daled explains Chukim Mishpatim. Classic. So it's Mishpat de Tasu. Elu dvarim ha'murim b'Torah b'mishpat she'ilu lo nemru yigdai lama. These are things which the Torah said in the Torah, which are like justice, just or right. That even if they weren't said, it would be fitting to say. Like mishpatim, I don't know, justice, don't steal, don't kill, things like that, whatever, right? Okay. That's chukas dvarim. Shein gzeir samelach. There are things which are a decree of the king. She yetzahara meshiv alayhim. Lama lano shalom. Yetzahara asks about them. Why do we have to keep these? Umos ha'olam meshiv alayhim. And the nations of the world question them. Go on, achilas chazir. Look, eating pig. Melavisha shatnez. And wearing shatnez. Right? Ve'utaras mechatos. And the paraduma. Mekach ne'amar niyashem. As it says in Yeshayahu, "Gazarti alechem, I decreed it upon you." Potter, right? You can't exempt yourself. You can't get out of them, even though you might think there's good reasons. You can't get out of them, right? Rashi, Potter mitochem, don't exempt yourself from them. Shelo tomar, you shouldn't say, "Lamati chachmasya." I learned the Jewish wisdom. Chachmas, I almost like go learn the chachma of the other nations. Okay. Okay, well, while we're at it, let's just round out the Rashis. I mean, the main thing I want to take up is two answers, but let's just round out the Rashis. So, v'chai b'hem is interesting. So, Pasuk Hey says you should guard the Chukim and the Mishpatim that a person does and lives by them. Right? V'chai b'hem. So, this is a famous v'chai b'hem. But Rashi and Ungulus don't learn v'chai b'hem like you're used to. Chazal learn out v'chai b'hem v'lo she'yomus b'hem. You should live by the mitzvahs and you shouldn't die by the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are a way of life, not a way of death. So if a person puts a gun to you and says, "Eat pig or I'm going to kill you," you say, "No, I'm going to live by the mitzvahs. I don't have to give my life for it." So it's a big three. So that's learned now from this passage, Chayban. Right? But that's not the way Rashi takes it. He says, "V'chayban l'olam haba." It means the mitzvahs that you do and you live in olam haba. Shalom tov, mashem tov, rolam hazak. Because if you're saying it means you'll live in them in this world, eventually you're going to die. What do you mean? You do the mitzvahs and you live by them? Not really. You're going to live until you die. So he's saying is rather it means you do the mitzvahs and you live in olam haba. Ani Hashem neman l'shalim sachar. I'm trusted to give a reward. Right? Okay, it's interesting because you would have thought it meant. You live like a good life, a long life, or whatever, I mean, it doesn't have to be you living eternally. But it seems like Rashi's saying it doesn't say you'll have a long life. It doesn't say you'll have a good life. There's other pesukim that say, Rachta Yamim, Tovla, I don't know, it just says, hi, you live. So it's being Dorish, it means eternal life. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so again, so the main problem is that you have two psukim in a row which say almost the same exact thing. 18:4 and 18:5. They both tell you that you should guard, and the flame shot is they're both telling you should guard and do the chukim and the mishpatim. Why do you need to say the same thing twice? So Rashi's first shot is that the first one, I guess, is telling you the main idea, and then the second one is telling you about certain additional details which weren't explicitly mentioned. And Rashi's second shot is the first one is telling you should guard the chukim and do the mishpat, and then the second one is clarifying that you really should do guard and do both the chukim. Okay, any questions? No, I don't know. It's not clear. He's not clear what he means when he says shardik to get partial appear about. The other details the parsha doesn't specify. I know it's not clear what he's referring to. It doesn't say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way I interpret it is to mean like Tosh B'Al-Peh. You know, like certain details of the mitzvos, which are there, they're halachic, they're part of the Torah, but they're just not explicit, you know? But I'm not sure. That's what it sounds like to me. I'm saying it means dikduke, shar dikduke ha-parsha, so the details of this parsha, shelo pir ha-kosev, the Torah didn't specify. So how are they in this parsha if it didn't specify? So I'm saying it means Tosh B'Al-Peh. So there's Yirgam Amidos, there's Mesorah, there's whatever. I don't know, there are details. Every portion has a lot of details. Not all the details are explicit. I mean, they're referenced, they're alluded to somehow, whatever. But the point is, so they're alluding to the other things which are part of the parsha but aren't explicit. What does Shmira mean? That's a good question. Yeah, okay, so Yaakov found Ushmartem Vasisem. This is in Dvarim, Dalet Vav. So Ushmartem means you should, Rashi says, do Mishnah. It means you should learn. Asisem kemashmo, that you'll do. Right? And they say here, I have a footnote. Hakavana shemas yotosh al pinu. We should learn them and be careful about them so we don't forget about them. That's Sefer Hazikaron. I don't know if that means like for the Sefer Hazikaron. I feel like it isn't. I don't know who it is though. Maybe it is. But whatever. It's a Sifrei. So Shmartim is Mishnah, and Asisim is what it sounds like it means. Now, again, I don't know if that always means that. I'm not sure that Rashi, every time Shmira means that, but at least in one instance, so we have that. I was going to say, it's interesting, by the V'chai Bahem, Rashi says it means you live in Olam Haba, right? So you would have thought that that's like a drasha. But you see, Unkelos also says that. He says, V'chai Bahem says, V'chai Ba V'yechei Behon Chaye Alma. You'll live in them an eternal life. You know, so I don't know, I would have thought it meant the claim Shah means you live in this world and the Joshua is all about. But I mean, it sounds like Uncle is saying that Rashi is really just a claim Shah. Means you live and that means you live internally. It doesn't mean you live in this world. Who said you live in this world? What's a Havmina? What's a Maskana? What's a Havmina that you only have Shemira for Chukim and Shasir for Mishpatim? What's a Maskana that you have both? And then the question was asked before, so well, I just say the Pasuk. Say, once you have both on both, then why do you need to have the first way? So it's hard to understand the point of the first pshat. What's the point? The Torah just said, guard the Torah and all the chukim and all the details. Say it all together. Say, guard the Torah and this isn't all fully everything, all the details. You know, it's like funny, you have two separate commandments back to back. Guard the Torah. Guard the Torah. Oh, why does it say it twice? The first one is the main thing and then all the details. Like, well, it's still same kind of questions, just put it all together. The first pshat isn't really differentiating between the Shemir and Asiyah, right? It's just ignoring that. It's basically, well, psukim have shmirah and asiyah, right? And it's not being medayik and right, which is on which. It's just whatever. That's two times the shmirah and asiyah of the chukim. So the saying is one must be to tell you the second one to be telling you certain details which weren't already mentioned in the first one. Okay, so I'm thinking similar to I guess Moshe and Oren. I want to add like another side to it. And there's two sides to this, which is that there's different ways a person could relate to Torah mitzvahs. Some people, like you're saying, like conservative or reform or whatever, it's like, look, be a good person, relate to the overarching idea of the mitzvah. And that's it. The main idea, Shabbos is the day of rest. So I don't know, you don't go to work. Something like that, you know? Or whatever. You know, kosher, so whatever, you don't eat pork. I don't know, whatever. I don't know exactly how it would be. But whatever. There's like themes, overarching themes of mitzvahs. And a person might think or feel that that's the emphasis of Torah is on the themes, overarching themes. And yeah, there are details, but like whatever. Whatever. There are details. You don't do details where you do them, be not so careful about them. So that's like one attitude. So Torah is saying, no, that's not true. You'll get back to that in a second. Or I feel like sometimes some people have the opposite attitude, that it's all about the details, and they get so focused on all the nuance, the details, the minutiae of following the minutiae of halacha that they lose the forest from the trees, right? They forget the fact that the Torah is about themes and their overarching ideas, and you know, similar to like the Ramban, like a person in the middle of a Bishul Satori, you can follow the details, and you miss the overall perfection of the Torah, you miss the themes which the Torah is trying to go for. And that's also a mistake. There is an idea And I think that's maybe the point. It's like there's two levels that a person has to be shmarta ma'asisim or whatever. He has to be guarding and he has to be doing. You have to recognize the overarching themes of the mitzvahs, and every mitzvah or mitzvahs have like inyanim, have an idea, overarching idea, like kedusha and of justice and overarching themes which mitzvahs are, teaching you. And you have to keep your eye on the ball. You don't want to get so involved in the details that you forget the fact that there's an overarching idea. Like again, like that Ramban says also by Mishpatim, there's a lot of details in Mishpatim. But then at the end it says Yashavatov. Right? That it's not just, you can follow all the technical details of Dine Mamonis, but you're not involved in Yashos. Like a system can only codify so much. So the Torah has a lot of details. But at the same time, a person could work around for everything, and you miss the overall perfection. So it's saying first, it's saying is guard the Torah mitzvahs to go in those paths. But then it's saying again, guard it and do them. You didn't say guard it and do them again. You just only guard them. So it's saying is there's something else, which is that again, it's not enough to just say, yeah, I'm going to guard the overarching ideas. But the Torah wants a person to engage those overarching ideas through the rigors of the halachic system, through chachma, studying the mitzvahs, the halacha, the details, the rigors, and subordinating himself to every last iota to the rigorous formulations of the halacha. And that's part of Yavodas Hashem involves chachma. It's not just take on some overarching theme and just feel your way around it, but it's the Torah codifies that theme to be expressed through the rigors of the halachic system. And a person has to be shmarta masisam, the same verbs it's using of shmira nasiya, it has by the main the inyanim, it also has shmira nasiya by the details. And you have to have the same vigilance about that. So it's like by saying the same thing twice, it's like saying the same thing by both of them, it shows you it's like correcting you that you shouldn't err on either side. You shouldn't err on the side of being overly focused on the details to the exclusion of the themes. You shouldn't be too focused on the themes to the exclusion of the details. What you really need is like a separate, and there's like two separate, it doesn't want to write them together. I think that's the point. It doesn't just write together. Guard everything, I don't know, because they are different. They're both true, but they're not like Hainuach. They're like two foci in your life. And you don't quite do them simultaneously. When you're dealing with the details of halacha, you're dealing with the details of halacha, and you have to keep your eye on the details, on following the dukei halacha. And insofar as you're following the dukei halacha, you're like precise about the specifics, and you can't, in that mindset, you're not necessarily focusing on the bigger picture. The bigger picture is like a distraction. You have to make sure you're doing everything strictly kelchasa, following the rigors of the law, learning the sugya, learning the halacha, is this case and that case, drawing distinctions. What exactly am I supposed to do in it? It's like a certain type of an involvement. And that involvement is of paramount importance. But there's an entirely like different thing. You go home after you finish the Shiloh. And then you go home and you think through and you evaluate what are the overarching themes of what I'm involved in, what perfections of the Torah bringing me. And that's like a different type of a mindset. It's a different involvement of your mental energy. And by warning you, not just shoving it all together in one pasuk, it's showing there are these two different playing fields which the Torah talks to you on. And you can't, it involves two different parts of your personality, if you will, and two different, hisaskias, so the directions of your energy towards these two things. And a person shouldn't, has to pay attention to both of them. And if either one of them is not talking to you, it's like you're missing part of the picture. You're too, and again, I think there are. It's like almost like, I don't know if it has to be this way, but like left-leaning Jews and right-leaning Jews. So, like the conservative reform versus like the overly, religious. It doesn't have to be that way. I just think it often is. Overly religious sometimes, get caught up on the details and drop the themes. And then the conservative reform, I get involved in the themes and forget about the details. But neither of those approaches is appropriate. And again, I'm sure they're, there's people who, whatever. I'm just saying it in general way. But, whatever.
Okay, we'll throw this one to the.
Yeah, I mean, I really think it, in some sense it's like Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. It's like Torah Shebichtav is the theme. The themes of the Torah are in the Torah Shebichtav. It talks about them. And it talks about Kedusha, Yashras, whatever, turning to Hashem, and part of the mitzvahs, and Shmirah, and all the different, all the different themes, like the Musar, like all Barim is filled with all these different themes, like what types of person you should be, and all the different Musar. So then that's Torah Shavuot. But then, and Torah Shavuot has mitzvahs, but then I feel like these details are, they're referenced to, well, some of them are in the Torah, and they're referenced in the Torah, but the Gemara is filled. All the halachic system is how much of the halachas can you really get from the Pesukim? But that's like Shemir HaNasiyah and the details, which are passed down Rabbi to Talmud, derived through rigorous halachic analysis. Okay, so what are the second shot? So again, the pshat of the second shot is that the first pasuk only tells you that you should do the mishpatim. Mishpatim again are like, so to speak, the rational. The mitzvos, right? Things that you would have known otherwise. And the chukim are the, legislative mitzvos that you wouldn't have known otherwise. Right? So it says you should do the chukim, the mishpatim, and you should guard the chukim. So you might think, if you only have the first pasuk, you'd think that's all. Right? But not vice versa. Comes along the second pasuk and say you should guard the chukim and the mishpatim that a person does and lives by them. You see, it's chukim, shmirah, and asiyah for both. So our question was, first of all, what's the havmina? Why would I think it's only one on one? It's a maskana. And then, as Moshe said, so we'll just say the second one. You don't even need the first one. Why write it in a way? Why do the two pesukim? You write it in a way the first pesukim is misleading, and then the second one corrects it. So just write the second one, and then you don't have any problems. Right? Okay, so to me, shmirah means guarding. Which means, like by chukim, they're going with kind of what Rashi says. It's like by chukim, a person, the umas olam and your yitzhara questions. And you say, oh, come on, who cares? Does it really matter if I eat pig or if I eat whatever, or if I wear shana? What's it really the difference? Who cares? Like there's a part of a person, and other people who just kind of feel like it doesn't make any sense. Like, why do I have to do that? Who cares? Like, I understand why I shouldn't steal, and I shouldn't kill. But I don't quite understand why I shouldn't do those other things. I don't really quite feel guilty about them. I mean, they're just whatever. The difference this meat or that meat, kosher, right? Who cares? So there's a part of a person which questions the sense of the arguably because we don't understand them fully, right? They're beyond them. I mean, we could have ideas about the reasons, but we don't quite understand fully why this is important. Doesn't say anywhere, and it's not immediately obvious. So there's people we have our doubts, and that being the case, a person has to be vigilant about those types of mitzvahs because of the fact that again, you don't necessarily feel guilt about it. Your emotions don't quite appreciate their value, and therefore, it's like you're more prone to slipping in a mitzvah like that, and it's a steal. There's like a natural resistance towards stealing. You know that it's wrong. You feel like it's wrong. It's obviously wrong. So you don't have to guard yourself in the same way to make sure that you don't drop the ball. It's like you know it's wrong. You have to do it. There is a challenge. It doesn't mean I'm not saying that it's easy to resist the temptation. I mean, there might be a temptation to steal. But you have to do it. You have to carry through. You have to step up, pass the test. But not because if the party's going to feel, stealing, who cares about stealing? No, I care about stealing. It's hard. I don't need the money or whatever. And, give it up. So it's like by the chukim, by the mishpatim, the Torah is saying, do them. Do them. Make sure you do them. But by chukim, there's like additional tzivoy, which is make sure you guard them. Make sure you have to exercise caution because if you don't guard them, they may slip away from you. And that's why it's like there's a zehira. You have to think into, I guess why. Well, you have to think into the ideas behind them, or the idea of why it's important for me to do things even if I don't understand them, and why you have to give yourself to arguments. Why? I know God gave them, the same God who is the Chachma who created the universe or who gave us all the Mishpatim is the same God who's commanded us about the Chukim. And therefore, it's reasonable for me to subordinate myself to him, even though I don't fully understand it. And I do that. I don't claim that I understand everything. I listen to what a doctor tells me to take, even if I don't quite understand it. because I know that he knows better than me, or whatever. You have to like kind of work through the realize, recognize that you have resistance or you have questions about it. Don't ignore those questions, but be on guard about those resistances and about those questions. Because again, if you don't, they could come up on you. So therefore, the first pasuk is telling you have to be careful to guard those. But by the mishpatim, you have to be careful to do them. So that's like the first pasuk. It's emphasizing this distinction. It's not the same like avoda, so to speak, in the two different classes. What I'm saying is the shmirah is like prior to the asiyah. I mean, yeah, you're gonna do them. You're gonna do them, but there's like prior to the doing them. So, like again, learning is limud's part of it. Part of it is to learn the mitzvahs, learn what the mitzvahs are, learn why the mitzvahs are, understand analysis. It's like it's a limud is part of it. You can't just see like I guess what Gezel, you just have to you know what Gezel is and you just don't do it. I mean, I'm not saying there's no details, but you know what it is and you just don't do it. But here, it's like you have to learn what it is and understand it and. You know, set up fences or, make sure you understand why it's important for you to do it. So, Lima's, I'm saying that's what Rashi here doesn't say Lima. I know he says it over there. But here, Shmira, you have to guard it. I'm saying it means to guard. Lima is part of it, but it's not exclusively guarding. It's not exclusively learning. I mean, it's a type of internal work, but it's like when you tell someone, be careful. It's like you're acknowledging that there's a tendency of a person not to be careful. You might ignore it. You might resist it. You might resent it. You might again. It's a type of thing. That's what it says. The umas olam and the yitzhara meshev aleihem. They ask on it. Lama lana mashomram. The yitzhara meshev. Lama lana mashomram. Why do I have to do it? So whether you put that into words or you don't put it into words, that is a feeling which people have about chukam. Well, you may be aware of it. You may not be aware of it, but you do, that is a feeling, and that's going to bite you if you're not careful about it, and you're not shomer. Okay. So, it's like, especially you're in the world. I mean, there's certain things like, that everyone in the world realizes. If you tell somebody hanging out with friends who aren't religious or whatever, you say, listen, I don't steal. Oh, yeah, it's not so hard to control yourself from stealing. No one steals. Everyone knows something wrong with stealing. But it's harder to control yourself from doing, I don't know, Shabbos, Shomer Negiah, I don't know, things which like the world does. These are things which everyone else in the world thinks it's like normal. There's nothing wrong with it. You'd say, well, I have this religion, which I don't know why. I don't know. It's complicated. Whatever. That's the type of a thing. You can't quite explain it to them or to yourself or to, and therefore you might be prone to slipping. And therefore you have to acknowledge that. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you have to be honest and acknowledge that and acknowledge the need for a shmir. That's the first pasuk, right? So that's why it's isolating out. So now what's or whatever? There's not Shmartam system. There's Chukos, right? Fine. So then why then do you have the second pasuk, which is saying is that you do both on both? What's that? Let's take this first step. Get some motion saying is that so on one half is that it's true that in Chukim. A person naturally resists and questions and all that. And therefore, you know that you have to guard it. But you might say, Mishpatim, I don't have to do that at all. But it's saying it's not true. While it's true that by Chukim, it's more important. But in Mishpatim also, a person serves certain details of the Mishpatim, maybe a person questions. Or when a person gets in tough situations, all of a sudden they start questioning, does it really matter if I steal? This you can really notice it. It's a big company. It's I don't know, like whatever. Like there's the idea of Shmira is not foreign to Mishpatim. It's not front and center. But if you just have the first pasuk, you think there's no need for Shmira by Mishpatim. But saying that's not true. There's always a need for Shmira. A person's Yetzirah works tricks on a person all the time, and even something as obvious as stealing. A person could, under the right circumstances, could come up with a whole twisted idea of why it's not so obvious and why it's not important and whatever. So you need Shmira as well by Mishpatim. Okay. And what about the flip side? The Asiya by Chukim. I'm thinking like this, maybe, but I'm saying like There's different challenges in the mitzvahs. So there's the challenge of Shmirah and there's the challenge of Asiyah. And which means, like, again, in, like I was saying, in stealing, it's not the challenge of guarding, essentially, that you have to be careful. You got to control yourself. You want the other guy's money, right? You know it's wrong, but you want it. It's like a primal desire, or I don't know, let's say killing or aggressiveness. Like, you have aggression. You have to control yourself. But like in Chukim, the primary, like Shana, it's not necessarily that you have a strong taiva for Shanas. It just your the challenge in Shanas is to convince yourself that you have to do it, even though to your emotions it doesn't make sense, right? Or a pig. Is it a pig is such a strong taiva? It's just like, why can't I eat pig? I don't know what's wrong with it. I don't know so much that it's so enjoyable as much, such a great draw as much as it's like, what's wrong with it? Or Baraduma. Is it so hard to do Baraduma? It just, I don't know, what am I doing? Why would I do that? So that's the primary tzivoi challenges in the Shmir. But that doesn't mean there's not a challenge in the Asiyah. I mean, maybe you're one pig. Just because you know and you can convince yourself that you have to be Shomer, you know, you have to set up a fence against pig. But that's not all, that's not the only challenge. Chukim also, any area of halacha, a person's taivas could kick up. And they could have a desire to do it. And you have to, it's not like once you convince yourself that it makes sense that I can't eat pig, now I won the day. No, there's also a challenge of actually carrying through. Because there's always a taiva, and any mitzvah is going to involve a taiva in some form or other, depending on the circumstance. And then you have to actually do it. Even if you have the full shmirah, that you understand that it's important, but you still, if someone gives you pork rinds or I don't know, I don't even know, bacon, you know, so then you might be drawn to it. So the Asiyah is like, it's not saying there's no challenge of Asiyah, like Chukim. It's not like Chukim, all it is you just have to convince yourself that it makes sense, and that it makes sense for me to do it, and that, you know, then I'm just going to automatically go. No, there's also going to be a challenge of the Asiyah. So just saying it's like, by Mishpatim, the primary challenge is to do it, not the guarding it. But there's a secondary challenge of Shmirah, which kicks up from time to time. By Chukim, the primary challenge is the Shmirah, is the understanding it, learning it, convincing yourself that this is important. And there's a secondary challenge with certain circumstances that you have to, you know, guard yourself. You know, you have to, you know, push your, you know, with willpower, so to speak, do it. So it's like there is, like, that's what I guess I'm saying. It's like that's two facets of a person's Shmiras and Mitzvahs. And I think in general it's the case. It's like maybe that's the lingua. It's like there's your Shmiras HaMitzvos, which takes place, so to speak, in the base Medrash, you know, which is you're deciding, scheduling your life, learning about the Torah, learning about the Mitzvos. That's part of your Shmiras HaMitzvos. When you're in yeshiva and you're discussing and you're learning and you're thinking and you're analyzing and you're philosophizing and you're scheduling your life, that's part of your Shmiras HaMitzvos. Is that's where you make it the plan for Shmiras HaMitzvos. That's like part. That's one part of Shmiras HaMitzvos. And there's the other part of the Shmiras HaMitzvos that takes place on the battlefield, so to speak, in the Asiyah. And they're both challenges. They're different challenges. You have to sit in the base Medrash and organize your life and think through, why do I do this? Why am I doing this? Am I going to do this? All that. And you have to make decisions about how you want to live. And then you have to, now that you have all your decisions and you have your game plan in mind, you have to go and actualize them. And there are two phases of mitzvahs. And again, the bigger challenges in the base medrash are, let's say, the chukim, less than the mishpatim. And the bigger challenges on the game plan, on the battlefield, are the mishpatim more than the chukim. But they're both. You have to be aware of both of them in both places. So it's like the Torah, on the one hand, going back to Moshe's original question, is like you don't want to just write both on both. Because you'd miss the fact that there's a stronger emphasis. You have to realize that you do need to deploy more resources in the world of Shmirah to the Chukim, and more resources in the world of Asiyah to the Mishpatim. That's important to know, because that's really the major playing. That's the major battles are there. But at the same time, you need the second pasuk to show you don't drop the ball and don't put all the eggs of your Shmirah into the Chukim and forget about Mishpatim and vice versa. That's a mistake. And you're gonna pay for that. So therefore, the second pasuk says Shmir and Asiyah in both of them, you know. But it doesn't just reverse it. If it reversed it, then it would be confusing. And then you'd miss out on the fact that there's an emphasis more of the chushmir on the chukim and the, you know, on the siyan and the mishpatim. So it's not just reversing it; it's saying both and both. This way, it shows you there's a framework where they are, but even though there is an emphasis, there's applicability of both to both. All right. It's interesting how always interesting how little the Torah says, you know. And then Rashi's, you know, bringing out all, you know, all these different ideas, which are, you know, it's like, I don't know, it's like, you totally missed this. You just read these psukim, they just sound like, you know, generic psukim that don't say anything kind of thing, you know? But Rashi's picking up on the scrap, you know, redundancy, and the, you know, it's amazing how much is like packed into there in the little Rashi.